Well, hello, good morning. Welcome to another live stream service from Bethel Evangelical Church here in Gosainen. And whether you're local or whether you're further afield, we give you a warm welcome. Now, beginning by reading a few verses from the first Psalm, Psalm 1, and then an opening prayer that we'll be singing our first hymn together, "O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us." And then boys and girls, get ready around the screen because it's Sam's turn to give us a talk this morning, and all he told me was that he was going to do an experiment. So we're all looking forward to that. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way of righteousness. We know that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ's life and death that we can approach you and have fellowship with you. Lord, would you be pleased to draw near to us this morning as we draw near to you. Bless the singing of the hymns to our hearts, the reading of the scripture, the expounding of the word. Oh, Lord, meet with us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask these prayers in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Very good morning to you all. Well, a warm welcome. Thank you for joining me again on this Sunday morning. If you can believe it, I think this is the fourth time I've come before you now for a children's talk. And I've been excited, looking forward to it, especially this morning. We'll see why in a moment. Okay, but I just want to make sure now that you are there with me. As always, I can't see you. I'm hoping you can see me. Let me know if that's the case, okay? So after three, as loud as you can. Hi, Sam. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Whoa, now you're getting better and better at this. That almost knocked me off my chair. Won't be long now. I'll be keeping my windows closed and I'll still be able to hear you. Wonderful. Thank you very much. We're going again. Pensager, loud and clear, Gowerton, Gosainen, Portmead, wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining me. Look forward now to what we're going to look at today. Before I do that, a quick message to somebody. Somebody was sending me messages last time I was speaking to you. And you know what? A bit of a delay, you know. And it came through. It must have come through in a week instead. So all I've got to say back to that person is, say, no, I love you best. How about that? Okay, so good. Thank you for communicating with me in that way. It's good to know that you're here with me now. What we're going to do is look an experiment. John said, yes, we're going to do an experiment. Been looking forward to this morning. And you might remember, if you were here with me at the start of the year when we were in church, I showed you one of my Christmas presents. And if you remember what that was, it was a book. And I'll show you on the screen now, look. The Dad Lab book, okay? And if you remember, back in early January, I did a little experiment from the book with you. And it involved using those Skittle sweets and a bit of water. And we made these lovely rainbows. Okay, and this is a book where you can make science experiments from things you find around your house. And here we go, this is what we did. Remember the first time, just a reminder, those lovely colours coming into the middle. We did a talk about rainbows, if you remember. Now, I'm coming back to this book again this morning. We're doing a science experiment. Bit more adventurous this morning, okay? So, a disclaimer now, quick disclaimer. Boys and girls, don't try this at home on your own, okay? Unless mum or dad is with you or a responsible adult to go through this with you. And I'll show you why now, because what we're going to be doing is using these little tea light candles, okay? You might have seen these. Mum and dad might use them for a bit of decoration on the house and nice decorative glow. I've got three of them, okay? And now, the reason I've got them is because we're going to make an invisible fire extinguisher. Okay, an invisible fire extinguisher. I'll show you what I mean now. We're going to use some little props we've got here to try and put the flame out with nothing. And I'll show you what I mean. I've got some things to help me. First off, I've got some vinegar. Okay, everyone's got this in the house. But this one is like a white vinegar, you can see. So it's the kind of thing you put in your chips, but not this particular one. This one it says you use for pickling, and people use it for cleaning as well. It's good for cleaning. Vinegar, I'm going to use that now. Going to use some bicarbonate of soda, okay? This is like a baking powder. People use it for cooking. And they also use it for cleaning as well. It's got good cleaning properties. So, vinegar, bicarb, and I got my jug. Good to go. Won't be a science experiment without a jug and a bit of water. No, not a water, empty glass. Okay, and I got my light to my candles. So that's everything. We're set, okay? So let's begin. First off, okay, I'm going to take my vinegar. I'm going to put in about a couple of centimetres of vinegar in here. Ooh. Make sure it's enough. What we want to do, touch more. There we are. I'd say that's about enough. A couple of centimetres in there. Very good. Okay, there's our vinegar. Good. And now what I'm going to do, before I put the baking soda into the vinegar, I gotta light my candles. Okay, so I'm going to show you now what we've got here. I've got three of them, look, just to show you. One, two, three. Very good. Now that candles are lit, the vinegar is ready, what I'm going to do to get my baking soda, and I'm going to add a spoonful of this to the vinegar. Now watch what happens, okay? Watch. Oop. Wee. Look at that. Look. Now it feels like a proper science experiment now, doesn't it? Look at those bubbles. Good. Now what I'm going to do is get my glass. I'm going to pretend to pour. I'm not going to pour any liquid out. I'm just going to go like this. Okay. Nothing's coming out, look. Nothing's coming out, but watch. Watch your candles. Whoop. With a glass of nothing, the candles went out. And I was talking whole time, and I wasn't blowing. I was talking, and the candles are out. How about that? Invisible fire extinguisher. How cool was that? It worked. Oh, I can breathe a bit easier now as well. Good. Excellent. A few dodgy practices, but we're okay. It worked on the day. So good. Excellent. What happened there then? Bit of science behind it, isn't it? Well, the vinegar that we had and the bicarb, we put them together and those fizzes, well, that was the, they call it carbon dioxide. It's a gas it's giving off, or CO2, you might have called it in your science classes. Like carbon dioxide was all those bubbles going up, and now the candle that was burning, and that needs the oxygen, doesn't it, in the air around it to burn. Well, what we did was we took our carbon dioxide from the bubbles and we captured it in the glass by pouring it like that, because it's denser than the air around it, so it settled in the glass. And then I simply poured it out, and you couldn't see it, but it's like a, we say it's like a, an invisible blanket covering the flame. And they covered the flame so it couldn't get the oxygen it needed. And out it went, snuffed out the flame. Invisible fire extinguisher, that's what happened. Wonderful. Now, you might have seen these in school, or maybe in the shops. I'll show you on the screen now. We got this little picture of a red fire extinguisher. You might have seen these, and it's a black label. If you look closely, it says CO2. And that's the kind of thing we have to put out fires, but it's exactly what we just created, those CO2 bubbles. They've captured it in a can like this, and you can spray it to put out fires. But you might have actually seen these row of them. When you see them, they've got like lots of different types with different colour labels. It says, the ones we've got there, foam, powder, CO2, water. Different fire extinguishers for different situations, you see. Because we know water, well, it's good at putting out fires on paper or wood. But you wouldn't want to use water, for example, on an electrical fire, because it might make it worse. Well, that's where our friend the CO2 comes in, because you can spray the gas onto electrical equipment when it's on fire, and it puts it out safely. Okay, so that's why we've got different types of fire extinguishers for different fires. You have to pick the right one for the right situation. Okay, good. Now, mum or dad, they might have come home from work one day, and they would have said, oh, you know, I was putting out lots of fires today. It was a hard day. You might have heard him say that, something like that. Now, doesn't necessarily mean they were putting out fires with a fire extinguisher. If they work for the fire service, maybe it does mean that. But no, it generally means they're talking figuratively, you know, I was fixing problems, putting fires out everywhere. That's what they mean, fixing problems. Now, we might find that in our lives, we've got problems. We've got fires, we could say, fires that sometimes we've created for ourselves. We've got problems we've created for ourselves. Maybe through the things that we do, the wrong things that we sometimes do. And you know, these fires that we've got burning, we try to put them out ourselves. Because we say, well, if I created it, then I should be able to fix it. So that's what we try to do. We try to put the fire out, don't we? Maybe we say sorry to the person that we might have wronged. Maybe we try to do something right to balance out the wrong, to put it right. But sometimes we find that it's just not enough, you know. And sometimes we find that we actually go back and do that wrong thing all over again. And we just undone it all. And that's a problem we get all the time. And you know what? That's a case of us, isn't it? Using the wrong fire extinguisher to put out the fire. Because we find that we just can't do it properly ourselves. But the good news to share with you this morning is that we've got one who's done the work for us to put the fires out. We've got one in the Lord Jesus, haven't we? Who came down, God's own son, and who died for us on the cross so that we can be forgiven and so that the wrongs that we've done can be put right. We could say that the Lord Jesus, well, he puts out the flames. He puts out the flames of God's anger. God's upset when we do things that are wrong. But the Lord Jesus, he's put out those flames, those fires for us. Those flames of God's anger, so you could say, he's put them out because he died for us. And because he sacrificed himself so that we can be forgiven and know peace and a relationship with God. I want to leave you with a thought this morning that we looked at this glass, didn't we? And we poured it out. And we said it created like an invisible blanket covering the flame. And what we could say as well, couldn't we, is that the Lord Jesus, when he died, well, he covered over our sins. If we're trusting in him, he covers over our sins with that blanket of his love, of his blood that was shed for us, covering over the things that we've done wrong, protecting them, covering them over from God. God no longer sees them. He sees the Lord Jesus instead. And the Bible says that if we're trusting in him, then we're given a robe of righteousness which covers us and covers over us. And God sees the right of the Lord Jesus on us instead of the wrong things that we have done. Wonderful. I want to leave you with a verse to help you remember this as we talk about it this morning. Put it nice and big on the screen, and after three, we read it together, okay, from the book of Romans. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Good. Do you see those words there? Sins are covered. So that's it, isn't it? We can say that the Christian is blessed this morning because they are forgiven. And they're forgiven because their sins are covered by the Lord Jesus and by his death for us. So I can ask you this morning, are your sins forgiven? Are they covered by the Lord Jesus? And if not, well, come to him this morning by trusting in him. Don't try yourself to put the fires out. Trust in the Lord Jesus who's done it for you by dying for us. Thank you so much for joining with me. I hope you enjoyed the experiment. I hope you enjoyed the lesson from it, the science behind it, but most of all what we've learned about the Lord Jesus, and he is the one in whom we can trust this morning. Thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. But for now, I'll hand us back to John for the rest of the service and say bye for now. Take care.
Lovely. Thank you, Sam, for that exciting experiment. And I'm glad it went well. And the lesson I hope we can learn from that is the love of the Lord Jesus to extinguish then all the fires and the flames of judgment. That's lovely. Now we're going to take a reading, Matthew's Gospel, the first Gospel, chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 7 to verse 14. Our text today is going to be verses 13 and 14 of this reading. So Matthew 7, beginning to read at verse 7, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 in a few moments' time. Now let's bow in prayer together as we come before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we read of you as one who gives good gifts to those who ask him, and we're to knock and to seek and to come before you. Lord, we are daily blessed in temporal provision with food and with clothing and homes and family and friends and the community in which we live. And Lord, as we think of other parts of the world where these blessings are not so bountiful and not so many, Lord, we're not unmindful of them, but we are thankful to you this morning. May we continue then to be thankful for these things in the days ahead. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you not only fed the hungry and healed the physically sick, but you also are the one who is the bread of life and the physician of souls. And we thank you for that deep love with which you expressed it clearly to us so wonderfully at the cross, removing our sins and providing us, as we've heard, a garment of righteousness, a blanket that we might be covered so that we are acceptable in your sight. And we now confess our sins to you and ask that you would forgive us for things we've said and thought and done. And equip us, Lord, with the strength and energy to live a life that pleases you. Gracious Holy Spirit, the one who applies the work of Christ to our needy souls, we thank you for your work in our hearts. Bring us to that small gate this morning. Help us to come in repentance and in faith, that which leads to life, and turn us from the way that leads to destruction. And Lord, we continue now to remember before you and before the throne of your mercy those in hospital still suffering with this virus, for their families in their concern for them, unable often to visit, and Lord, for hospital staff, whether it be the consultants and the nurses and the doctors, the cleaners and the porters, working so hard to see so many of these dear loved ones come to recovery. We also do pray for those in bereavement and sorrow, and Lord, ask that you would be with them as they walk through the dark valley. Lord, we also pray for the general population with worries now about the future in terms of wages and paying bills and long-term employment and the prospects for the education of their children. And Lord, we would pray then for those who are advising the governments, whether in Cardiff or in London at this time. And we pray, Lord, for clarity in the announcements and clear implications of what we are told in terms of this coming out of lockdown. Lord, as we not only think of ourselves, we think of countries in the world. We think of the unrest, the civil unrest in America in these last 7 to 10 days. Lord, we think of the crisis that's continuing to develop in Brazil, with the many thousands who have died there. And the concerns as well expressed in an important meeting this week with leaders of the world for many children who've not been inoculated in many African and Asian countries as a result of this pandemic. And Lord, we would pray then for safekeeping and for these great problems which are beyond our handling, that Lord, we commit the leaders and officials into your hand, that they will do what is best, that they will do that which is right, with integrity and honesty. Lord, we also ask for gospel opportunities. We thank you for live stream services and for so many who are joining in at this time and those who are listening to recorded services in the week. But Lord, we think of conversations that are taking place and literature that is being handed out. And we pray, dear Lord, for the opening of hearts to learn and to leave that broad way and to come, Lord, on that journey that brings eternal life. Not only eternal life now, but eternal glory in the future. Hear now our prayer as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, we're going to read now then those two verses which are our text this morning from Matthew 7. These are wonderful verses. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now we're going to look at these two verses this morning, and we're going to look at them under four headings. Firstly, we will notice that there are certainly two gates. There are two ways. There are two destinations. And there are also two groups. And they contrast one with the other very clearly. And a preacher's responsibility is not only to inform and to educate and to develop the truth of God's word so that we can grasp it, but also then to bring men and women and young people to a place of decision. And that's the important part as well of preaching. It's not just a lecture. It's also then that application of the truth of God's word. And only the Spirit of God can accomplish that work in a heart. But that's what we're looking at to do this morning. Now, before we look at this important choice that's made, let's just remind ourselves, when we look at the Old Testament, this is something that all the leaders did. Let's take Moses as an example. We know Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were coming to a point where they were about to cross the Jordan. Moses wasn't going to go with them. But as he's preparing them to cross, of course, a previous generation had disobeyed God. They'd not listened to God's word, and there'd been a 40-year delay. Now, as the new generation then is preparing to cross over the Jordan, listen what Moses says. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live. So there's Moses, the leader, and he's bringing people to a point of decision. Moses dies. Joshua takes over responsibility. Then there's much fighting in the land of promise. Eventually the other nations are subdued. And Joshua now is coming to the end of his life. And a new generation again has come. And he says these words, the end of Joshua, chapter 24. He says, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you are now living. And then he says of himself, but as for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. So there was a choice there. Now let's move on. We know then there were a period of the judges, and then various kings. Saul was the first king, David the second, Solomon the third, and then there was the division of the kingdoms. Now, let's go to a time when Ahab was king. Elijah was the prophet. Ahab had been following the false gods. Elijah comes to Mount Carmel, and before this this great experience of God's power and fire comes and falls, he says this, Elijah says this to the people. How long, he says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Bringing them to decide. And then one more example, fourth example, after a period of time, the nation of Israel and Judah went into exile, defeated by the Assyrians and Babylonians. And Jeremiah, a prophet, he was given words by God during a time of exile. And this is what he said, Jeremiah 21, verse 8. This is what the Lord says. See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. So again, bringing them to a point of choice. So we all have choices to make on a daily basis. Now, some are trivial. When Harvester reopens in Gowerton, I'm hoping to be over there. I have my standard gammon. And I'll have to make a choice. Am I going to have an egg on it? Or am I going to have the gammon? Or am I going to have both and pay a bit extra? Well, I'm looking forward to making that decision. I'm sure lots of us are doing that. Perhaps I have to make a decision every week. I look back perhaps over the weeks and I think, oh, I don't want to wear the same tie. I've got quite a lot of ties, so I put a different tie on every week. So I've got to make a choice. But there are other decisions that are much more important. Medication. I think I'll stop. Do I carry on taking medication? Do I not bother? Do I keep that medical appointment or just carry on with the pains I've got? Well, we know there could be serious consequences. This is something that they're concerned about with A&E attendance at the moment. More, some are trivial, some are very important decisions. Another one particularly is an eternal decision, and we must be very, very careful about that. So let's look then, two gates. One gate, we are told, is narrow or small, and the other gate is wide. The small gate can only be entered as you would through, like as a turnstile. Now, when the rugby matches are back on, and eventually, hopefully, fans will be able to attend, whether it's a football game in Swansea or Cardiff, whether it be in the international rugby matches, we're looking at the thousands of people who are sitting in the seats. But we realise that at various points around the arena, before they've come in, they've come through one at a time, through a turnstile. There isn't this wide opening of the gate to let everybody in. Obviously, there's a checking of the tickets, isn't it? We understand what it's about. Well, in a similar manner, then, you have to deliberately come. Individually, you come. All right, you might be a group, but you come through that turnstile one at a time. And this is something of what the Lord Jesus is talking about here. There's an individual responsibility and accountability here. Now, we remind ourselves then of something specific. Notice how this verse begins. Enter through the small gate. There's something deliberate about this. We have to walk through it. We have to make our way to it. The second gate, you notice, is a wide gate. Now, a wide gate means you can take baggage with you. You can take whatever you want with you. There's plenty of room. It's not like an airport, perhaps, where there's weight restrictions as to what you can bring on. Oh, no, you can bring whatever you like. And what's being touched upon here is this. You see, it's possible to go through a wide gate and you take whatever you want with you. You take yourself with you and all that you're doing. There's no one to question you. No one to look through your bag, no one to check that you haven't got anything damaging to others. No, you make your own way. No questions, and you don't have to answer to it. The narrow gate means, you see, you have to leave some things behind you. Now, whether it's your sense of self-achievement, we've talked about this over the Sundays. Some people think they're good enough, you see. But, you know, other people perhaps need a saviour. They need to trust the Lord Jesus. But not them. No, they're good enough. And if there is a God in heaven, he'll accept them because of all the good things they've done. They think they're a set apart. Well, you see, you've got to give up this sense of self-achievement. All your successful examination results, perhaps, what you've got on the wall as your certificates and diplomas, the results, your awards, your achievements in work, your trophies if you're a sports character, or perhaps that you've had a mention in the local press or even in the national press and you've had a photograph and you've met famous people, all of this counts as nothing with regards to this important matter of eternal life. Coming through the narrow gate means you have to know repentance, a confession of wrongdoing. No longer pretending that everything is all right and no longer pretending that it's everybody else's fault. You're to blame and you need to repent of your sin. Now, I'm asking then, with regards to these two gates, the first point, have you been through the gate? Have you entered in? It's a lovely old hymn, though millions have come, there is still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Two gates. Now, the second point is this. Notice, again, in these verses, there are two ways. What we notice is that one gate, it's wide, and it leads to a way that is broad, we read. The small gate leads to a narrow way. And again, we notice the contrast. There's a cherished idea today to think that everyone is making their own way in life. And there's no right or there's no wrong way. Providing everybody's making their way, they do the best they can, and that's all right. No one can tell you what to do. No one can advise you. You make your own way, and it's okay to do that. For some people, perhaps following the Lord Jesus, well, that's what they like. But you don't fancy that. And so you choose something different, and that's all right as well. Well, Psalm 1, which we read at the beginning of our service this morning, clearly answers the matter, doesn't it? It speaks of two ways, the ways of the godly, the ways of the ungodly. And we're not to think in this regard that there is only one way. No, there is a dividing, a division of the ways. And that important point then about us following the narrow way rather than the broad way. You see, in the broad way, there are few restrictions. You're not required to do anything you don't like. And even sinful forms of behavior are overlooked. There's nothing wrong with these things as far as I'm concerned. If I like doing it, it's nothing wrong with doing it. The narrow way has to be sought, and it has to be taken purposefully. You have to keep to a certain track. You have to watch, as John Bunyan said, that you don't get sidetracked into a bypath meadow. Now, Jesus talked about this. He said, you read it here, few there be that find it. Jeremiah mentioned him already as one of the prophets who drew the attention of a decision to the people to whom he was speaking. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You might say, well, yeah, I've tried to find God. I've tried to seek and to look at the Gospels and read it, but I haven't found anything in it. I just want to ask, have you sought the Lord with all your heart, earnestly, with all your energy? Or is it some sort of, this isn't a hobby, you see, this is no hobby. This is something vitally important. This is of eternal consequence. Now, I'm hoping later on when restrictions are released, we can go down perhaps to Pembrokeshire again. I love that area of Wales. Now, in St. David's, what is known as the smallest city in Britain, we know it has a main road and it's basically a one-way system these days. And but there is one street that you can miss. It's a lane. And it's not a main road. It's a side lane. And if I'm there, I always like to walk up it because it's called Gospel Lane. And I'm just thinking, we all have to walk the Gospel Lane. Now, I'm not meaning physically, if you go down to St. David's, no merit in walking up the Gospel Lane. But spiritually speaking, I want to ask, have you walked the Gospel Lane? Have you walked into this narrow way? Have you come? Have you realized you need your sins forgiven? Have you realized the Lord Jesus' life and death and resurrection is your only hope for eternity and for life now, that you might know forgiveness and a freedom from guilt and sin? Well, it means so much to us then to think upon these things this morning. Now, some say, well, you see, talking like that, it means that life's going to be so restrictive. Think of a child for a moment. You decide that a child your child or grandchild should learn to play the piano. Now, what do? You buy the little music copies and then you pay for lessons for them. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of effort. And basically, the teacher is telling them that there are these five horizontal lines on music script. And then these little squiggles and little dots and little lines on those five horizontal lines of music script, each one means something. It means a note, the length of the note. It means how quickly you play it. The time is there and everything. The clef, we know. And we think, well, now, how restrictive. Why impose that upon this poor child? Well, all they want to do is have a little tinkle on the ivories. But you know, and it might be true of you yourself, if you're in any sense accomplished as a pianist or a harpist, it's following the restrictions of those little squiggles and notes and your practice of it that brings you eventually into a freedom and an ability to play well beyond anything you could ever have done in your own strength and ability. And so that beautiful music, which is followed and heard and appreciated by all, comes as a result of a child who's been restricted to play according to these little dots and squiggles. Now, can you see what I'm saying? It's possible, you see, that people think of the Christian life as a restriction. But if you were able to see it as perhaps someone could see it as playing a piano, that as you live your life according to these ways and you're given the help from the teacher as well, when you have the difficulties and the struggles and when you feel like giving up, your life could be a beautiful life. The music and the sense of beauty and wonder could be amazing. Much better than just plonking away on the piano, which many people do and think that's expressing themselves. So, two gates, two ways. Now, thirdly, two destinations. The two gates lead to two ways, which lead to two distinct destinations. The broad way, we read, leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. Now, many assume that there's a third alternative, that you can end up going nowhere, that you end up in a cul-de-sac. It's a bit like an opinion poll where you're given a statement and you can either say yes or no, or you can say, I don't know. But the choice is clear. There's only two choices, one of two. The choice is that what you will make as a choice determines your destination. You may take the wrong gate. You may take the wrong way. You may begin the wrong journey for many a mile. And it may go on for many a year and many a decade. But the wonder of the gospel, it's a bit like a motorway that's heading in the wrong direction. But there are, in God's mercies, these little side roads, aren't they? You can come off the motorway. And here is the opportunity this morning again to come off that broad road and to begin the journey on the country lane of grace and mercy. It's difficult perhaps to express the reality of this thought with regards to the fact that it is destruction to follow the broad road. We know how important people are talking about well-being at the moment. And we've been watching programs about nature, and the sort of conversation is certainly around about this subject of well-being and go out and enjoy nature and make yourself feel well and how it'll help our physical health and our mental health. What the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here is not so much now an end of being, a going out of existence, which some people think is the ultimate full stop of life. No, it's a comma. This is what we find. Life at the moment of death is a comma. It's not a full stop. And it brings us into another eternity. It brings us into another existence. And so it's not the loss so much of being, it's the loss of eternal well-being. And the contrast with that is that there is a way that leads to life. And eternal life now is not something that is of long duration only, that it's a length of days that you live on forever. No, but it's also about a quality of life. It talks about now that you're in fellowship with God and his people forever. And the way to life then already begins at the very moment someone believes. When you repent of your sin and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life comes to you at that moment. It's not waiting for that moment when you pass from this life into the life to come. It starts as soon as you go through the gate, that narrow gate of repentance and of faith. And your journey then along the way of salvation, you experience fellowship with God, a peace and a joy, a sense of freedom from guilt. And when you do wrong, you can ask the Lord to come before him and know that he will pardon and forgive through the blood and merit of Jesus Christ. And your sins are as far as the east is from the west, behind his back, buried in the depths of the sea. Now let's look at our final point. We said two gates, two ways, two destinations. There are two groups in verses 13 and 14. Did you notice the words? On the broad road, the way to destruction are the many. Now, they assume that they can't be wrong because they're in such a greater company of people. They travel along with so many others. And because of the multitude, they think, well, I can't be wrong because everybody's going this way. Our Saviour here is preparing these disciples and followers for the rejection and the isolation that they will certainly feel when they take the narrow way that leads to life. Jesus says only a few walk that road, and they'll always be considered a despised and foolish minority. When some tried to tie the Lord Jesus down as to the number of people who would be saved in Luke's chapter 13, verse 23, the Lord Jesus said, they asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, are there few people that be saved? And the way Jesus answered that is the way that I need you to think about this matter this morning. Jesus simply pointed out their own need. He said, you enter through the narrow door. Almost as if to say, you leave that number. I mean, Revelation chapter 6 and 7, you can read about it. There's a multitude, a number innumerable. We've mentioned this in recent weeks here. You leave that with God, how many will be saved. You make sure that you are saved. You make sure that you are numbered amongst those who love the Lord Jesus and have come to faith in him. You make every effort to enter that way. You cannot be on neutral ground. There's no undecided ground. There's no middle ground. You're either on the broad road that leads to destruction or the narrow path, the narrow road that leads to life. To choose not to follow the Lord Jesus is a choice. To choose this morning to say, well, I understand what you're saying, but I choose not to decide on this morning. That's a choice. You're making a choice. And a preacher has to bring you to a point where I ask you to make the choice for life. Choose life. Gospel preaching gives the opportunity to consider the gate you've gone through, the path that you're walking, the way you're travelling, the destiny that ultimately awaits you. And I'd say don't depend on the numbers who presently agree with you. They're not going to stand alongside you on the day of judgment. You'll stand on your own. That little phrase, you're on your tod. Now, we know that the Sermon of the Mount, which is part and parcel of Matthew chapter 5 to 7, where we are looking for text this morning, speaks about an alternative lifestyle. Two masters, one we can obey. Either you obey God and love God, or you love money. The Lord Jesus already dealt with that. All these two ways before us. I'm going to close now by asking you to choose whom you will serve today. Moses asked the people. Joshua asked the people. Elijah asked the people. Jeremiah asked the people. I'm asking you, whom will you serve today? Choose well. Choose Christ. The question that needs to be asked by all of us is this. What must I do to be saved? Well, how can I enter the narrow gate? Well, the answer we know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and trust him as your Saviour. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He is the gate. He is the way to heaven. And all who come to him, I am assured from the scripture, he never turns away. He will receive you and he will walk with you all the rest of your days. And I simply want to appeal to you this morning. Enter in. Enter in. Enter in. You may not be able to come to church. You can't do so at the moment. But my dear friend, sitting in the living room on your sofa, you can come to Christ this morning. Will you choose Christ? Will you choose life? Will you choose eternity with him in heaven forever? But grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. We do have an evening service at 6 p.m. this evening, where we'll be continuing our studies through 1 Thessalonians. God bless you for the rest of the day.